We know that Balin's expedition to reclaim Moria ended in failure and death. But what actually happened, and why did he risk it? Did he ever even stand a chance? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover the best in fantasy books and TV shows. The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, and The Witcher. If that sounds good to you, there's a subscribe button in the bottom right of your screen. One of the most moving moments in The Lord of the Rings is when Gimli learns the fate of Balin in Moria, weeping over his tomb. But what possessed Balin to attempt to retake Moria in the first place? And what happened? Was there ever a realistic chance that he could have succeeded? Balin is one of the first characters we are introduced to in The Hobbit. He was the second dwarf to bundle his way into Bag End for the unexpected party after his brother Dwalin, and from the beginning stands out from the other dwarves. He is older than most of them. At 178 years old, only Thorin of the company is older, and is described as being very old-looking, with a white beard. Clearly, Thorin, with his mostly still dark hair, has aged a bit better. In other words, Balin may not have been the oldest member of the company, but he looked it and acted it, and the others treated him with respect. He is often the dwarf chosen by Tolkien to show how the dwarves slowly warm to Bilbo. He's the one who first accepts the idea of Bilbo accompanying them, mistakenly thinking Bilbo is some kind of professional burglar. Actually helping Bilbo tidy up a bit after the dwarves descended, waiting for him outside the Green Dragon Inn, calling him good old Bilbo partway through their mission, walking with him, accompanying him partway into the Lonely Mountain when the rest of the dwarves held back, and so on. A few years after the story ended, he even journeyed with Gandalf to visit Bilbo in the Shire. I think Tolkien liked Balin and wanted us to like him too. Balin, like many of the dwarves on the mission, was from royal stock. He was a distant cousin to Thorin, they shared a great-great-grandfather, and lived through most of the main events of dwarf history in the latter part of the Third Age. He was at Erebor, albeit just as a child, when Smaug attacked the Lonely Mountain, leading to their exile. He took part in the War of the Dwarves and Orcs after King Thror's death. In the final battle of that war, Balin's father, Fundin, was killed. He was part of King Thrain's escort when Thrain decided to look again upon the Lonely Mountain, but was captured en route by Sauron's forces. It was Balin and Dwalin who survived and took the news to Thorin, making him king. Then, years after that, he was Thorin's right-hand man on his quest of Erebor. In short, all of Balin's life had been about trying to reclaim those dwarven homelands that he had last been cast out of as a child. If we are looking for a reason why Balin attempted to retake Moria, I guess it is here. Balin wasn't young. At 226 years old by that time, he was considered old even by dwarf standards, and his entire life had been in exile of one kind or another. As a child, he had been forced from Erebor, but had helped to reclaim it years later. One thing remained. His father had been killed outside the gates of Moria, the true homeland of Durin's folk. If he was ever to right that wrong, it had to be now. The second reason why Balin thought he might try to retake Moria is probably because everything had been quiet there for a long time. The Balrog hadn't been seen or heard from. The Orcs of the Misty Mountains had been soundly defeated in the War of the Dwarves and Orcs, and then again in the Battle of the Five Armies. Sauron had been thrown from southern Mirkwood and was now amassing his forces in Mordor rather than northwest Middle-earth. The Great Goblin had been killed. Beorn and the Beornings were now patrolling the lands west of the Anduin. In Erebor, all was well. King Dain II had rebuilt it, Lake Town had been repaired, Dale refounded, strong relations with the men nearby had been forged. We may be able to look back and see that the seeds of war were being sown elsewhere, but to the dwarves, it must have felt that their luck had turned. They had spent so much of the Third Age being chased out of one homeland to the next, but now, finally, they had reclaimed Erebor and secured it. Had their luck turned? The place they most wanted, their spiritual home, was Khazad-dûm. Erebor was important, but it wasn't their true home. Khazad-dûm was, and all the signs from there were pretty good. No sight of the Balrog. The orcs seemed weakened irrevocably. Balin was nearing the end of his days. Why not give it a try? Balin probably didn't think he would be able to walk in without some sort of a fight, and he got one. He set off with a medium-sized group of dwarves and overcame the orcs at the east gate before heading inside, apparently without much further resistance. It's hard to say whether Balin had expected this. He wasn't stupid, so I'm sure he knew that there would be more orcs within, but as far as we can tell, they decided to avoid the dwarves in the short term. Given the size of Khazad-dûm, 40 miles from east to west, many miles north to south, and many, many levels up and down, this was not hard. Balin declared victory and established their base in the 21st Hall and his throne room in the Chamber of Mazabul. He declared himself Lord of Moria. All seemed well. And it was for about 5 years. The colony's base was not far from the East Gate, but they ranged far and wide, discovering many of the ancient treasures they had been seeking for. Durin's axe and helm, the armory and mithril depository. But although this was branded as a colony, dwarves reproduced slowly, and in 5 years the original group was still roughly the same size. At which point Balin, perhaps starting to relax a bit, the orcs weren't as great a threat as he'd feared, and the Balrog was still nowhere to be seen, went to see the Miramir. The Miramir is a lake just outside the east gate of Moria. It has a huge religious importance for the dwarves. It's where the first Durin, after whom Durin's folk were named, gazed into the waters and saw a crown of stars reflected over his head and decided that this was where he should stop his wandering and build a homeland for his people. You may remember in the books Gimli pausing there during the Fellowship's escape from Moria. It was so important to him and his people that he couldn't pass without pausing to reflect on it, no matter how many orcs were chasing after them. Anyway, Balin went out to the Miramir and was tragically shot by an orc archer. He probably never even saw the orc who killed him. The dwarves carried him back into Khazad-dûm and gave him a burial in a tomb fit for a Lord of Moria in the chamber he had used as his throne room. And very soon, the dwarves realised that this was not a one-off. The orcs were advancing irrevocably from the east. The east gate fell, and the dwarves fought a desperate rearguard action, room by room, chamber by chamber. We read of an epic and strategically important battle in the second chamber. The first chamber was just inside the east door. Then came the Bridge of Khazad-dûm, which was designed as a defensive structure. You could only cross over it one at a time, so a small defensive unit could defend it much more easily against a superior invading force. The orcs threw themselves over the bridge in overwhelming numbers. The dwarves fought bravely and surely killed many orcs for each of them, but the numbers told. The dwarves had to abandon their best defensive position and let the orcs in. As a side note here, Balin had brought with him two of the other dwarves we know of from The Hobbit, Oin and Ori. Ori was the records keeper. It is his account of what happened next that the Fellowship find and that tells us the gruesome details. The remaining dwarves clearly decided that the odds were now overwhelmingly against them, and Oin was dispatched westwards with a small group of dwarves to see whether the remaining colonists could escape that way. He made it as far as the West Gate, Durin's Gate. You'll remember the Fellowship being stuck outside it in the Lord of the Rings. Oin discovered that the waters outside had now reached as far as the gate itself. He ventured outside, and the Watcher in the Waters killed him, and several of his companions. Four made it back to the last few dwarven colonists. The East Gate was held by the orcs, and now they knew that the West Gate was also close to them. They were trapped. As another side note, there was not usually a lake outside the West Gate of Moria. It seems that the orcs dammed the River Cirrhenon and flooded the area so that the Watcher in the Water could come right up to the West Gate. This wasn't just a random attack from the orcs. They planned this and deliberately blocked the West Gate before attacking the East Gate. The dwarves were trapped before they even knew it. And then the orcs attacked. The dwarves holed themselves up in Balin's throne room and no doubt took out many orcs before their own doom. Years later, Gandalf read Ori's final record, telling of the final moment as the orcs prepared to attack. Drums, drums in the deep, was not just a cool line, it was a record of the orcs' final battle preparations. And so ended Balin's attempt to reclaim his people's homeland of Khazad-dûm. Perhaps, though, we might draw a small, thin line of hope from that hopeless mission. The reason Gimli and co. went to Rivendell and were there for the Council of Elrond was to seek information on what had happened to Balin, that and to report on the visit of Sauron's emissary to Erebor. The fellowship that emerged from that council ultimately led to the destruction of the Balrog, and with Sauron's demise, the end of the orcs in Middle-earth. Ultimately, without Balin and co. knocking on Bilbo's door decades earlier, and Balin himself personally befriending Bilbo on the quest of Erebor, Bilbo would not have found the ring, and the ring would not have been destroyed. And years later, the dwarves did reclaim Moria. Durin the Seventh led a group back there in the Fourth Age, and this time it was successful. Balin had the right idea, but perhaps just a couple of centuries too early. If you'd like more videos about the world of Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings, please click on the link on the left of your screen now. For my new channel, IDG Live, please click on the link in the middle of your screen. Or to support this channel, my Patreon link is on the right-hand side. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.